عليكم السلام ورحمة الله الشيخ صالح. How are you?
الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله.
الحمد لله. الحمد لله. الشيخ, we are ready when you are, inshallah.
I'm ready, الحمد لله.
Okay, let's begin, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله, الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن ولا وبعد. Brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And welcome to our weekly lesson of Virtues of Islam, delivered by our Honorable Sheikh, Sheikh Salim Al-Amri. I will pass the mic and the screen to the Sheikh. Sheikh can begin, inshallah. فليتفضل مشكورا شيخنا, Sheikh Salim Al-Amri.
جزاك الله خير. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله, نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره, ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا, إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له, ومن يضلل فلا هادي له, وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له, وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد, فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى, وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, وشر الأمور محدثاتها, وكل محدثة بدعة, وكل بدعة ضلالة, وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, today is our weekly class, Fadail al-Islam, Virtues of Islam. And we are going through what Muslims should agree upon. In the last session, we talked about that we have to agree on the Tawheed. And worshipping Allah alone. Calling no one but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because, fortunately, many Muslims are not worshipping Allah alone. They direct many acts of worship to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And without the Tawheed, Muslims will not be held by Allah Azza wa Jal. And they will not be granted the establishment of the deen which Allah promised. Tamkeen fil ard. Because the tamkeen is only given to the monotheists, to the muwahideen. Today we continue, insha'Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear brothers and sisters, is the only one who answers and responds to our calls, to our cries, to our invocations and supplications. And he is the only one who relieves us from any distress. Anyone else cannot help you. That's why we are always in need of Allah. We are totally dependent on Him. And He is not in need of any one of us. Without Him, we are lost. Without Him and His help, we cannot survive. He is the one who allows me to breathe. Without breathing, I will die immediately. So everything, all this complex structure, machinery, is made by him. Every single part of me testifies to his greatness, to his mercy, to his generosity, every single part of me is concrete proof and evidence. وفي أنفسكم فلا تبصرون. And to yourselves, don't you see? Don't you reflect? Don't you see my greatness? Don't you see my majesty? Don't you see my knowledge? Don't you see everything about me in your creation? You is enough. You are sufficient proof for my existence. وفي أنفسكم أفلا تبصرون. So he is the one whom we should count on and rely upon, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody else. Because he knows everything about us. He created us. So naturally, he knows us. Because the manufacturer, the maker, knows his make. The one who manufactured, made the washing machine, he knows how it functions and he knows how it works. That's why he provided you with the catalog to tell you this, how you should run it, because he knows what he made. So the maker always knows his make. So who made this body? Who made you? Who made you? Where are you made? One of the dua, I like his style. He's an Arab. He went to a country without mentioning name. They are communists. So he asked them, where are you made? Can you check your labels? When he was talking to them, can you check the labels, the name of the country that made you? Where are you made? So who made you? Who created you? So the one who created you, he knows you. And that's why, because he knows us. He guides us. He tells us what we should do and what we should not do. And he is the only one who is capable to help us. Now listen to this, what Allah mentions in Surah An-Naml, Ayah 62. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ وَيَجْعَلُكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْضِ أَإِلَهٌ مَعَ اللَّهِ أَإِلَهٌ مَعَ اللَّهِ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Or ask them, who responds to the distressed when they cry to him, relieving their affliction, and who makes you successors in the earth? Is it another God besides Allah? Yet you are hardly mindful. Let us pause here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised this question. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرِ? Who is the one? Ask them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ask your opponents. Ask the pagans. Ask the rejecters of truth. Ask the concealers of the truth. Ask them. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ يجيب المضطر المضطر the one who is in dire need distressed helpless our history tells us our heritage, Islamic heritage, they said an atheist asked Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, rahimahullah ta'ala. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq is from Ahl al-Bayt, is one of our imams. So he asked him, the atheist asked, I don't believe, I want proof for God's existence. So he told him, have you ever traveled by sea? He said, yes. Okay, have you ever experienced tough sea and the ship was about to sink? He said, yes. And you lost hope that there was no one who's able to help you except one. You feel, you have that feeling, there is someone there who can rescue you, though the chance that the ship to be rescued is very low. Okay, and the waves are playing with the moving the ship from right to left. The hull is full of water. He said, yes, I got that feeling that there is someone. I feel that he is able to help me and rescue me. He said, that is God. That's it. That one, when you are under distress and you feel nobody else, all ropes are cut, severed. No safety lines, no harnesses. You are going to drown. But you have hope. There is someone. That is God. Because you see, my dear brothers and sisters, the belief in God, the belief in Allah, is something embedded, engraved inside, embedded within us. We are hardwired to believe in God, to believe in our Creator. And that's what we refer to as the fitrah. That natural disposition. But what people do, they cloud the fitrah. That's why the beauty of Arabic, he's called kafir. What is the meaning of kafir? Not infidel, not disbeliever. No. Kafir means someone who is covering something, hiding something, concealing something. That's why he's called kafir. So he's covering this fitrah, clouding it. He's covering this embedded faith and belief. Though it is there. But he's covering it. But when this person is subjected, exposed to danger, the fitrah will be unclouded. And that belief and iman will come to surface. I mentioned this stories in many of my talks, that in the Second World War, a paratrooper, communist, because I read this long time ago in his memoir, he jumped, he's a communist, atheist, and the parachute, the umbrella didn't open. He started to shout, "Oh my God, oh my God." All his life was saying, he was saying, "There's no God." Then the parachute, the umbrella opened and he landed safely. He mentioned that's what he mentioned in his memoir. So the atheist, when he is in danger, he will not say, "Oh, Mother Nature." No, 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 no. He will say, "Oh, my God." One of the mashayikh said, he said, "Imagine we are on board flying and the announcement came from the pilot, 'Oh, my dear passengers, we have a technical issue. One engine failed. Oh, another one. Okay, so keep praying.' And the engines kept failing. All the passengers, everyone will be shouting and crying to Allah, 'Oh my God, oh my God,' including the atheists, if there were atheists on board. They will not say, 'There's no God, we don't believe in there's God.' No, they will cry and shout, 'Oh my God, our God save us.'" This is what Allah mentions. Allah answers. When you are in need, He answers. Even if you don't believe in Him, He answers you. Because He created you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the mushriks, the pagans, at the time of the Prophet. He said, when they embarked the ship, دعوا الله مخلصين له الدين. When they are in the middle of the ocean, in the middle of the sea, and they are about to drown, to sink, the ship to sink, and they are going to drown, دعوا الله مخلصين له الدين. They call upon Allah sincerely from the bottom of their hearts. فلما نجاهم إلى البر إذا هم شركون. The moment they land on the shore, they go back to their bad habits, associating partners with Allah. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعا. So ask them, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, who responds to the distress when they cry to Him? Who answers? Who answers you? How many times many of you experience this? You are in trouble and you lost hope. But you know Allah will help you. So you turn to Him, you raise your hands, and you poured your heart out and you cried. And you got the relief, and your supplication, your call was answered. How many times many of us experienced this? Many times. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. And relieving the affliction, the tribulation, the calamity that you are struck with, He is. He removes it. Uncovers it. ويكشف السوء. Relieving the reflection. ويجعلكم خلفاء الأرض. See, Allah is reminding us the problem with many of us. When we read Allah's Kalam, we do not pause and reflect. See, Allah is mentioning His blessings, His bounties, His ni'am. He tells us, who answers your calls? Who relieves you from your distress when you call Him? And who removes all the afflictions and the calamities and the hardships? وَيَجْعَلُكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْضِ And He makes you successors in the earth. Who makes you successors? You succeed one another, generation after generation. Who makes you that? Generation after generation. The children that replace their fathers, the fathers that replace their fathers. And it's going on. Generation succeeds another generation. So who made us successors in the earth? Who made this earth suitable environment for us? If we think perfect. Oxygen, this percentage. Scientists, they tell you, if the percentage of the oxygen increases a bit, everything will set on fire. Reduce a little bit, we will suffocate and die. Who situated the sun in that position? If it gets closer to us, we will evaporate out of it because of heat. If it is moved a bit, we'll be frozen. Don't you see people now? Countries are shivering, the European countries, because winter is approaching, and Russia closed the taps of gas supply. Who gave you this sun that keeps you warm and places it in the exact position that suits your physique, your body? So who made us? When Adam, alayhi salam, landed on earth, it was already made, ready for him. Ready for him. Everything is made perfect for us human beings. For us. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً Behold, when Allah said to the angels, I'm going to place on earth Khalifa. Khalifa. This Khalifa, successor. Succeeds whom? It doesn't succeed Allah. Allah is always there. Okay, so we don't say Khalifatullah. Allah has no successor. But He is going to, of course, He succeeded others who came before Him. The jinn, they were before Adam alayhi salam, but Adam was the first human being. So when Adam alayhi salam landed on earth, it was made suitable for him to live in it, to live on this planet. Okay. And then he made a successor. One succeeds the other. وَيَجْعَلُكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْضِ After he mentioned all these things, so Allah reasons with us. He reasons with us. He poses this question to tell us, think. So the answers to all these posed questions should be Allah, no doubt. That's why Allah asked, rebuking us, blaming us. If everything this I made for you, then أَإِلَهٌ مَعَ اللَّهِ أَإِلَهٌ مَعَ اللَّهِ Then how come you dare and attribute others besides me? أَإِلَهٌ مَعَ اللَّهِ Is there a deity deserve to be worshipped besides me? Is it another God besides Allah? أَإِلَهٌ مَعَ اللَّهِ And Allah said, قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ قَلِيلًا Little you reflect, little you remember. Yet you are hardly mindful. You little think and reflect. Had you use your mind and reflected and pondered rationally, you would have arrived that the one who deserves to be worshipped alone is Allah, who answers your calls, who helps you, who removes your distress, who removes the afflictions, and who makes you successors on earth. But you don't think right. Don't use your minds. So Allah, my dear brothers and sisters, is the one that we should always, always count on, rely on, and worship Him alone. Not anybody else. Not the saints. Not the idols. Not the statues. Not the trees. No animals. No. The one who answers our calls. Because these are the qualifications of the one whom we should worship. The one who answers me when I am in need. The one who removes my distress. Will the idol help me when I am in need? No. Will the idol remove my distress? No. Will the idol remove the affliction and ward it off, the calamity? No. Will it make me successors? Will it make me successful in this world? Will it give me the strength and the energy? No. So, all these false objects are disqualified to be worshipped. Qaleela ma tadhakkaroon. Little you remember, little you think, hardly you are mindful. So, my dear brothers and sisters, no one knows. About Allah Azza wa Jal better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He is the one who is our Rabb, whom we should turn to and rely upon. So we know our Rabb, we know our Lord. through his speech, through his kalam, through his book. So his, we study his names, we study his attributes. Iyyaka na'bud, iyyaka nasta'een. You alone we worship, you alone we count on, and we seek your help. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us about himself. So we have to believe in whatever he tells us about himself. So no one knows better about Allah than Allah himself. And no one knows about Allah more than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And no one can know more about Allah and his Messenger better than the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we worship Allah alone. How do we know about Allah? He told us about him. He mentioned to us his names. He mentioned to us his attributes. Then his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained that to us. And he told that knowledge and imparted and passed that knowledge to his companions, and they passed it to us. So, having said that Allah is the one whom we should call upon, then to direct any act of worship, any act of ibadah to other than him, that is we call shirk. Shirk, polytheism, because you, whomever you direct your active worship to, you made him equal to Allah or partner with Allah. Shirk. And as believers, we have to fear the shirk. We have to fear shirk. Because shirk is the only sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned. He will never forgive. Only one sin. If you die while doing it, practicing it, if you repent before you die, it will be also forgiven, even the shirk. If you die while you are practicing shirk, polytheistic acts, actions, then the destination is known, the blazing fire. So we have to fear the shirk, because it's the only sin that Allah will not forgive. So the shirk, only the pious and the righteous will fear falling into shirk. Because shirk has many, many shades and many grades. The major one, they have ranks and grades. Major one is shirk al-akbar, takes you out of Islam. Then you have shirk asghar, minor shirk, which is greater than any other major sin, such as going to the fortune tellers, psychics, palmists, soothsayers. Okay. Taking an oath in other than the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you have the shirk asghar, khafi, inconspicuous shirk or hidden shirk, which is very, very subtle, and that is showing off. And no one can say, I am free. Okay, from these all three of them. So that's why when the Prophet ﷺ, he described the subtlety and how hidden and subtle the shirk is in this ummah. And he described, like he said, like the movement of an ant on a smooth rock at night. You don't feel it. It creeps and moves into your being without feeling it. The showing off. That's why when the Sayyidina Abu Bakr, he heard this, he fell on his knees. Said, what should we do? And he told the Prophet ﷺ, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, the dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min an ushrika bika shay'an wa ana a'lam wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. So this is very important. Oh Allah, I seek your protection against associating any partner with you unknowingly. Knowingly, and I seek protection from you against associating any partner with you unknowingly. So forgive me if I commit shirk knowingly or unknowingly. So this dua, memorize it. Always say it in your sujood, say it always, all the time, keep repeating this dua. And you'll find it in Husn al-Muslim. So keep always Husn al-Muslim with you. Read from it. The adhkar of the morning and the evening, etc. So the fear of shirk is very, very important. And the pious and the righteous, they fear the shirk more than anything else. La ilaha illallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 48. Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. Wa man yushrik billahi faqad iftara ithman azima. Indeed, Allah does not forgive associating others with him in worship, but forgives anything else of whoever he wills. And whoever associates others with Allah has indeed committed a grave sin. Let us reflect. Verily, most certainly, inna harf tawkid wa nasb. So this is a letter of a surety. Okay. To put emphasis, to emphasize, and nasb, okay, which means the noun after it will have fatha. But this is inna, and it has sisters, inna wa khawatwa. Inna Allah, that's why the fatha Allah, because it is the ism of inna. Inna Allah. So this is when you hear, okay, this is something important because Allah emphasizes and begins the ayah with inna. What is it? That's something Allah emphasized. Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bih. That's why Allah said, inna. There's something needs to be emphasized. Yu'akkad. Inna Allah لا يغفر، لا يغفر. لا يغفر. And he used the present tense. فعل مضارع. Didn't use past tense. No, present tense. Because using the present tense, it denotes and indicates continuity. So Allah will never, ever forgive you. إن الله لا يغفر. It's not just he will not forgive you for this time, but later on he will forgive you. No, this will continue. It is finalized. إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به. I will divert a bit. Okay, those who know grammar, focus with me. أن حرف مصدري. So when أن comes, and followed with the verb, we merge أن and the verb. This أن and the verb will be merged together and will be replaced with the verbal noun in the masdar. And we call it masdar muawwal. Masdar muawwal. أن يشرك will become the masdar, the verbal noun, shirkan. Shirka. The meaning then becomes إن الله لا يغفر شركا به. شركا به. Because أن and يشرك مصدر مؤول. Verb noun. It became verb noun. After merging the أن and the verb. So then it can be replaced with the verb noun and it becomes shirkan. Inna Allah la yaghfiru shirkan bihi. And shirkan here is nakira, undefined. Undefined. And you should recall, because I have mentioned this many times, when there is undefined noun, nakira, common noun, in the context, في سياق, in the context of a negation or prohibition, it denotes generality. And nakira too, undefined noun, common noun. في سياق النهي أو النفي تفيد العموم. This is a rule in أصول الفقه. طالب العلم needs to master Arabic, أصول الفقه, and the Hadith. إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به. So إن الله لا يغفر شركا, شركا به, شركا. So شركا is نكرة. لا يغفر نفي, negation. So I have here نكرة preceded by a negation. So it denotes generality, which means Allah will never, ever forgive any form of shirk. Any form of shirk. Because he used the masdar mu'awwal here. And it is nakira. So any form of shirk, Allah will not forgive it. And that's why Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he holds the opinion that even the minor shirk, Allah will not forgive. because it is nakira here, an yushraka bihi. I hope you are following. Inna Allah, and I will keep reminding you. You want to become a real student? You want to know your deen? Study Arabic. You don't want to study Arabic, your knowledge will remain superficial and you will be just dependent on the translation. So you are not reading directly, you are reading translations. So there's a barrier between you and the text, because you are reading translations. So you are not reading the Quran, because the translation is not the Quran. You are not reading the Hadith, you are reading translation of the Hadith. Okay. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. So Allah made it clear. He doesn't forgive anyone who associated any partner or his associated with Allah, anyone. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ. So the first part, the thing that Allah does not forgive is the shirk. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ, and he forgives anything less than that, less than what has been mentioned, the shirk. وَيَغْفِرُ, and he forgives what is less than ذَٰلِكَ, that what was mentioned, which is the shirk. لِمَنْ يَشَى, to whom he wills. Whomever he wills to forgive, he forgives. That's why the belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah that we do not consider any Muslim as disbeliever or kafir if he commits major sins. Because all types of sins, apart from the kufr, and the shirk is kufr, no doubt. Apart from that, because every mushrik is kafir and every kafir is a mushrik. Okay? This is very important. The kuffar, all are mushriks, because they follow and worship their different deities. And they follow their own hawa. That is their god as well. فَرَأَيْتَ مَنْ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Have you seen the one who has taken his hawa, desires and whims, his God? تَعِسَ عَبْدِ الدِّرْهَمْ, تَعِسَ عَبْدِ الدِّينَارِ. Woe to him, the worship of the dirham, worship of the dinar, the one who worships dirham and dinar. So there are many deities people worship. But any other sin, apart from the kufr and shirk, it falls under the will of Allah. تحت المشيئة. One who drinks alcohol is not kafir, he's a Muslim. Unless he says alcohol is halal, then he's a kafir. One who commits zina is a Muslim. Unless he or she believes that fornication or adultery is permissible. If he believes it is haram, he's a sinner. Okay? So Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they believe, they do not treat Ashab al-Kaba'ir, the perpetrators and committers of major sins, as disbelievers. No. And the Sharia, Sharia made that very clear. The ruling of the kufr is capital punishment. the ruling of the kufr is capital punishment. The ruling for major sins is different. So the one who commits zina, okay, if he's married, yes, stoning to death, capital punishment, yes. But we give him burial wash. His wife goes through the waiting period. His children, they inherit him. Okay. So Allah made the rulings different for all types of sins, all the major sins. Some, the punishment for them are prescribed punishment. Some, which is hudud, like if one commits theft, his punishment is not capital punishment. Though it is major sin, his punishment is his hand to be cut off. If someone drinks alcohol, to be lashed, not to be killed. Why I'm saying this? Because some of the deviant sects, like the Kharijites, to them, if someone commits a major sin, then he's a kafir. To them, he's a kafir. The Mu'tazilites, to him, he's a kafir. In the Akhirah, he's in the hellfire with Fir'aun. But in the dunya, they say, we can neither describe him as a believer nor as a disbeliever. So he's in between. This is what the belief of the Mu'tazila, the Mu'tazilites. Manzila bain al-manzilatayn. So he's in a stage or phase in between two stages or two phases. We can neither say he's a believer nor a disbeliever, but he's in between. But then the hereafter, he's a kafir. So here, this ayah, Allah said, no. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. So all those who committed major sins and died, if they received punishment on earth before someone committed zina, so he was lashed, so he will not be questioned about this, because they had the punishment or the penal punishment penalty, okay, will expiate and wash away his sins. So that is the penalty. But let's say someone committed major sins and he died. Will he go to hell? I cannot say that. It's up to Allah. It's up to Allah. Because he falls under the Mashia of Allah. It's up to Allah whether to forgive him or to punish him. To us, we treat him as a Muslim. We perform janazah, we give burial wash, and we make dua for him or her. In Allah la yaghfir an yushraka bihi, so that's the clear. Allah will never forgive the shirk. And anything else less than the shirk is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not left to us. That's why you hear some people, they say about someone killed himself, oh, he committed suicide, he's a kafir. No, he's not a kafir. One who killed himself is not a kafir. It's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him, to punish him. We cannot say he's a kafir. Okay? So that's why if we find the body, we give the burial wash and bury that body in the Muslim graveyard. And the kuffars, if some of those brainwashed youngsters who blow themselves and kill others, thinking that it is permissible. Of course, that is against the Sharia, against the teachings of Islam. The kuffar, they approach the Muslim leaders and imams and da'wah organization, and they start journalists all over flocking to the masjid. What do you think of this? And all the Muslims are saying, this is wrong, we are against it, we don't approve of it. No, we don't want this. Say something more. Say that they're going to hell. Okay, this is what they ask the Muslim. Say that they're going to hell. They'll never go to paradise. Sorry, we cannot say that. It's none of our business. That's why the belief of the Muslims, لَا نَشْهَدُ الْأَحَدٍ بِجَنَّةٍ وَلَا نَارٍ. We cannot testify and say so-and-so is going to heaven or so-and-so is going to hell, except those whom we have been told. And now you want me to say he is going to hell? No. This is Allah who's going to decide, not me. Okay, it's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows his intention and he is going to deal with him. Okay. I criticize and I reject the action and blame it. Okay. And I don't approve of it. That's it. Is he covered? No. I cannot say that. I treat him as a Muslim. Can I make dua for him? The answer is yes, absolutely. Because he's a Muslim. I make dua for him, absolutely. And ask Allah to forgive them. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's going to decide whether to punish them or to forgive them. So this is, they fall under the Mashi'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Mashi'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is very important, my dear brothers and sisters, to keep in mind. So the shirk, yes, Allah will not forgive. Anything else, it's up to Allah. The one who killed himself at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet ﷺ, he did not perform janazah prayer for him, but he allowed the Muslims. He said, Sallu ala sahibikum. Sallu ala sahibikum. You conduct the janazah prayer upon your companion, upon your brother. So he allowed the Muslims to conduct the janazah prayer, which means he's a Muslim, though he killed himself. So someone, the one who commits suicide, he's not a kafir, he's a Muslim. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Salli ala sahibikum. So keep this in mind. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. So anything less than shirk is up to Allah. Then Allah said, وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ افْتَرَى إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا. وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ. So whoever associates anyone with Allah, فَقَدْ, most certainly, افْتَرَى. He committed, he fabricated, he concocted, he made ithman azima, a grave sin. He committed a grave sin. Yes, Shirk is a grave sin, my dear brothers and sisters. Grave sin. Allah created us for the Tawheed. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Created yin and mankind only, what for? To worship me. So the purpose of our creation is to worship Allah alone. And then you associate others with Allah. That's why. This is great, grave sin. وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ Whoever associates others with Allah. فَقَدْ افْتَرَى. See, Allah used this قَدْ have تَحْقِيق letter of assurity and certainty that something actualized, something happened. فَقَدْ افْتَرَى إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا has indeed committed إِثْم, sin, grave, great, by associating others with Allah. So the shirk, my dear brothers and sisters, is something one should fear and should be afraid of. May Allah save us from committing shirk. May Allah save us from committing any form of shirk. May Allah guide the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and save them from the shirk and bring those who are practicing shirk to the Tawheed and guide them, Ya Rabb, Ameen. And make them die upon the Tawheed, Ameen, Ya Rabb. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast on this beautiful deen until we meet Allah and find Him pleased with all of us. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide our ummah to the haqq. May Allah unite our hearts in the haqq. And may Allah bless us with the beneficent knowledge and righteous deeds. And may Allah reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullahu khayra. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Unfortunately, the admin's not been able to make it back. With your permission, can we take some questions?
Inshallah.
Okay, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Which should we give priority to, memorizing the Quran or learning Arabic?
You can do both. You can do both. You will learn, of course, you will, before you read the Quran, you will read the alphabet, and that's Arabic. So you will read the letters, and I recommend that you begin with the Qaida Nuraniya or Qaida Baghdadiya, because that will help you to read the Quran correctly. And of course, when you are reading the Quran, read it with a teacher, the teacher, so that you will read the ayat correctly. And you can learn Arabic at the same time. As a matter of fact, the Quran will help you to learn Arabic. Okay, so when you are reading, you know that the speech in Arabic are three types. All the Arabic language, three categories. Three types or three categories. Ism, noun, name, fi'il, verb, harf, letter, or prepositions. That's it. So, when you are reading the ayah, how to know the ism, the noun? So, if anything has al in it, is a noun. So, when you are reading alhamdu, lilhamdu, oh, this is noun, ism. Lillahi, oh, it is preceded with letter lam. Harf jar is the ism. Ar-Rahman, ism. Ar-Rahim, ism. See? So, when you are reading the Quran, you are actually applying the rules of grammar that you studied. You say, oh, this is a noun because it has al, or it is preceded with harf, min, or inna, or the letters of the or prepositions min, ila, an, ala, etc. Oh, it has to be followed with a noun. Oh, this is the verb. Okay, which verb? Is it in madi, past, or is it present? Okay, how can I differentiate if it is madi, fi'il madi, or fi'il mudari, past tense, or present tense? They told you, okay, the present tense will begin with one of the four letters. Either the hamza, an, a, or noon, or ya, or ta. So if you find any of the four letters in the beginning of this verb, then you know it is present verb tense, fi'il mudara. A-nay-tu, a-nay-tu. Hamza, noon, ya, ta. Okay. So, adrusu, you see, a, adrusu. So it is fi'il mudara. Why? Present tense because of a. Nadrusu. Why it is present tense? Because of noon. Yadrusu. He studies. Adrusu. I study. Nadrusu. We study. Yadrusu. He studies. Tadrusu. You study. Because of the ta. So it is in the present. So when you are reading. Okay. For example. Inna Allah. So Allah is a noun. Why? Because it is inna before it. Yaghfiru. Oh, this is present tense because of the ya in the beginning. Yushrik. Present tense because of the ya in the beginning. So you can have both. You can study both the Arabic and the Quran together, inshallah. Next question, please.
Assalamu alaikum, dear respected Sheikh. Jazakallah khair. Can you please tell details about Ibn Jaddan, whom you mentioned some time ago because of knowledge?
Ibn Jaddan.
Yes.
Ibn Jaddan. Ibn Jaddan was a man lived in Jahiliyyah, okay, before Islam. And he was well off, and he was helping the needy and the poor, feeding them. cooking for them, they said the pots, he had massive pots, cooking pots, has the pots have ladders inside. They have to go down to scoop and take the food. So the fire, the pots are on fire 24/7, just feeding, feeding. And one day our mother Aisha asked the Prophet, said, Ibn Jad'an, he used to do all these things, will that avail him? Will that help him? He said, no, Ibn al-Siddiq, no daughter of al-Siddiq. All what he did will be in vain. Why? Because he never said, Rabbi ighfirli khati'ati yawm al-deen. He never said, so he was not doing it for the sake of Allah. So he never said, oh my Lord, forgive me my sins on the day of reckoning, on the day of judgment. So he was doing all these things for just being to be praised and to be known that he's a generous person, etc. Okay. So the same thing, there was a famous generous man in the history of the Arabs before Islam, and he is the outstanding character, Hatim al-Ta'i. Okay. That's why if the Arabs, if they want to describe someone who was generous or to give a gesture of one's generosity, they say Karamun Hatimi. This is a Hatimi generosity. Okay, his son became a Muslim, Adi ibn Hatim, and his daughter also Safana, but their father was not. Okay, so he was generous, but he died as a mushrik, as a kafir. Okay, because many people, they think, oh, he's a nice guy. Okay, he helps the people. He should go to heaven. No, it's not us who decide that. How do you find someone who's good? Not by your yardstick. What is Allah's criteria? What's Allah's judgment? Someone who insults Allah, associates other with Allah. Someone who says God died. Someone who says God was created. How do you want Allah to grant him paradise? A famous missionary, she died recently, a few years back. Very active converting the Muslim children into Christianity. She died. Is she going to hell? To heaven? No. She's a kafira, mushrika. She was helping the poor. What poor? Taking them from Islam to the hellfire. I hope this is clear to the questioner.
Yes, Sheikh, inshallah. They'll let me know if they need anything else, follow up or anything. Is there a difference between backbiting and gossip?
The riba. Riba and namima, okay, can be used synonymously because the Prophet ﷺ, he defined the riba. He said, "Dikrak akhaka bima yakra." So the riba or the backbiting is that you mention something about your brother or sister. By the way, when you read in the Quran and Sunnah, and Allah is addressing the males, by default, He is addressing the females. But that is the nature of the language. Okay, so to mention your brother in his absence, so by something that he dislikes, he doesn't like people to know about it. So to mention something about your brother or sister in Islam, and he doesn't like that, that is riba. Riba. The gossiping is the same thing. People, they just talk and they mention people. So-and-so, she is like this. So-and-so, she is like this. So. And women, they are known for this. That's how they spend hours, either on the phone or chatting, just eating the flesh of their sisters. The buhtan, which is worse than the riba, it is the same. You mention something your brother doesn't like to be mentioned about him, but what you mention is a lie. That's called buhtan. Slandering, buhtan. It's a lie, it's not true. The riba, maybe you mention something which is true. It is true, but it is, you should not mention. It's haram. Because there's no need to mention it. But if it is a lie, it is worse. And it is the buhtan. Next question, please.
Assalamu alaikum. I have a relative who is a pharmacist in the UK. A couple of teenagers, non-Muslims, needed the morning after pill. The morning after pill it prevents pregnancy. The morning after pill, it prevents pregnancy as long as you take it the next day. And they noticed that the contraception they used was ruined. Is it permissible for her to sell them this product?
The answer, no, it's not permissible to send the contraceptives to a client or a customer that he is going to commit zina, you know. But if it is a couple, they came and they say, okay, can we have this type of contraceptives or that? So, you know, they are a couple, so they are making birth control or something like that. But I find out that this person is going, he just wants to get this contraceptive so that he's going to commit zina, or he stepped in with his girlfriend. Okay, can I have condoms back? Okay, give me one box of condoms. So I know, for sure. They just want to going to make love and to have sex, and so I should not sell that. I hope this is clear to the questioner. Next.
Inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh. We go to the next question. I want to ask if it is also a form of shirk when someone is afraid that he won't have enough money due to bad financial situations in the past. That's why he is afraid and careful with how he spends his money and not to waste it in order to feel safe.
No, it's not a form of shirk at all. But this is actually it's a type of fear which is praiseworthy, that he or she is afraid that to die while having debt. Okay, so that's why he is trying to save some money, so to clear his debt, and he is afraid to die before clearing his debt. This is a good sign, and no, it's not a form of shirk. May Allah make it easy for him or her to clear their debts. Ameen.
If there are any more questions, please send them through. Is there any specific dua a sister can recite to reduce labor pain?
I don't know any specific dua. apart from the du'as in general, if when she is in labor, she can put her hand on her abdomen, and she can read أعوذ بعزة الله بسم الله أعوذ بعزة الله وقدرته من شر ما أجد وأحاذر. Maybe this, inshallah, by the grace of Allah, will allay the pain. But there's no special dua I came across, or special ayat to read to allay and reduce the suffering. I hope this is clear to the questioner.
Inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh. We'll go to the next question. Can you explain the minor traits of a hypocrite which do not take him out of the fold of Islam and give examples of them?
Yeah, what is mentioned in the hadith, because you see the nifaq, hypocrisy. The hypocrisy, nifaq, two types. Nifaq i'tiqadi and nifaq amali. So hypocrisy, two types. One type of hypocrisy is called hypocrisy related to the belief. Or literally, it means doctrinal hypocrisy. Hypocrisy related to the doctrine, to the belief itself, which means you pretend to be a Muslim, but in reality, you are a kafir. So you are hiding your disbelief and showing that you are a Muslim, but in reality, you are not. So this type of nifaq, of hypocrisy, is major one. And you are a kafir, basically, you are a kafir. But you will be treated, because we don't know what you hold in your heart, you will be treated as a Muslim, because we don't know what you have in your heart. Okay? But in the hellfire, the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, are in the lower part of the hellfire. بِالدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. So this type of doctrinal or hypocrisy related to the i'tiqad, to the belief, alhamdulillah, no Muslim has this, alhamdulillah. So the Muslims, they fall into the second part of nifaq, which is nifaq amali, hypocrisy related to actions, to practices, or practical hypocrisy, hypocrisy that takes place in our actions. And that is what is mentioned in the hadith, ayat al-munafiq talat, the signs of the hypocrite are three traits. Idha haddatha kadab, so when he talks, he lies. Idha wa'ada akhlaf, and when he is entrusted with, when idha wa'ada akhlaf, so when he promises, he breaks his promise. With Tumina Khan, and when he's entrusted with something, he betrays. So these are traits and signs and characteristics of Nifaq Amali. So if one has any of these traits, he's not a kafir, okay, but he has this trait of hypocrisy and has to repent and leave it and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is very, very bad sin and major sin indeed, but doesn't take the person out of Islam. I hope this is clear to the questioner.
Inshallah, this is clear. We will take one more question, and that is, if I am discussing with my friends about the bad things and in general that our leaders are doing, is it also considered backbiting?
Okay, the see the we talked about what are the cases or exemptions or the exceptions for the riba, and I will mention them quickly. القدح ليس بغيبة في ستة. متظلم ومعرف ومحذر، والمجهر فسقا ومستفت ومن طلب الإعانة في إزالة منكره. So these are the exceptions where ghiba is permissible. القدح, it is not considered ghiba. Okay. In regarding the following six things, it's not ghiba. This is qadh. Qadh means to criticize. So it's not, or critique. So this is this form of criticizing and critiquing. It's not, doesn't fall in ghiba, the prohibited ghiba. So there are six cases considered to be allowed and exceptional, as exceptions. القدح ليس بغيبة في ستة. متظلم. Someone has been wronged. Okay. Because the ghiba is to mention something about a person and he doesn't like that thing to be mentioned. That's the ghiba. But now someone wronged me. Someone robbed my property, took my an item from me, caused damage to me or to my property. So I have to report him and have to file a case against him. So متظلم, I am مظلوم, I am being treated unjustly. So now I'm going to file a case in court. So I have to mention his name. Is this ghiba? Under normal circumstances, it is. But now here, no, it is allowed. Otherwise, people's rights will be lost. متظلم. ومعرف. معرف means when you mention someone. Okay, when you mention someone, or when you are writing a biography about someone, and this is in the science of hadith in particular, some people are not known by their names, rather they are known by their nicknames, though they hate their nicknames. But if I mention his real name, no one will recognize him. So now to mention him by his nickname, which he dislikes, is not ghiba. Like Imam al-A'mash. Subhanallah. So Imam al-A'mash, that is his nickname. And he hates people who call him Al-A'mash. Because Al-A'mash means someone whose sight is so weak. But the ulama of hadith, they talk about him only by his nickname, Al-A'mash. So if you open the books, Al-Imam Al-A'mash, Al-A'mash, Al-A'mash. Because he cannot be defined and made known without that. If you mention his real name, no one will know him. So we have the متظلم, معرف, محذر. You warn someone. You warn the people against someone. Someone who's an evildoer, an innovator, mubtada, and he's spreading innovations, misguidance, misleading the Muslim, misleading the Muslim youth. So, but mentioning his name is not ghiba. It's not ghiba. That's why if you open the books of hadith, there's jarh and ta'dil, jarh. And they mention the names of those who are evildoers. And they mention their names. Okay? Ja'am ibn Dirham, Ja'am ibn Safwan, etc. So if someone is a source of threat to the community, spreading immorality, spreading corruption, spreading strange idea or strange beliefs, so mentioning him by name is not ghiba, because you warn the community against his evil. وَمُحَذِّرِي وَلِمُجْهِرٍ فِسْقًا, or someone who discloses his sins, who airs his dirty linen, who puts movies and clips on the net, inviting the youth to immorality. So he's not covering his sins. He publicizes and discloses his sins. So mijhar and fisqa, okay, singer or actor or actress. So if you mention their names to warn the people, that's not ghiba, because they are disclosing their sins to harm others. وَلِمُجْهِرٍ فِسْقًا وَمُسْتَفْتٍ, someone who is seeking fatwa, coming to the sheikh, to the alim, and asking for fatwa. Like Hind, the wife of Abu Sufyan, radiallahu anhu, she came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she said, "O Prophet of Allah, inna Abu Sufyan rajul shahih. Abu Sufyan has tight hand. He doesn't spend. He doesn't give me enough for me and my children. Can I take from his money without letting him know?" He said, "Yes. Take what is sufficient for you and your children." So here the Prophet, he didn't tell Hind of the Allah, "Oh Hind, fear Allah, you are making ghiba, you are mentioning your husband's name." No. Because he is seeking fatwa. Seeking fatwa. So this is not ghiba. This is not ghiba. And finally, someone comes to you and to ask you and ask you to help him to enjoin what is good and forbid what is evil. So there's something evil going on here. I want to go to the police station, so I want you to come with me as a witness. Because you see the next flat, they are selling drugs. You see, the people are coming out. So I want to go to the police station and report it. Okay, so come with me. So this is not ghiba, because you are going to testify that, yes, the owner of this flat is selling drugs. So these are the cases where there are exceptions and ghiba. These are the six cases where these things will not be considered as ghiba. I hope this is clear to the questioner.
Inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh. Jazakallah khair. If you'd like to conclude, inshallah, that was our final question.
Barakallahu feekum. Jazakallah khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, bless your family, protect you, protect your family. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate your status in this world and in Jannat and Na'im. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast in this beautiful deen until we meet Allah and find Him pleased with all of us. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide our ummah to the haqq and unite our hearts in the haqq. And may Allah reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullahu khaira. Until we meet, insha'Allah, in the coming session, I leave you in Allah's company and protection. Fi hifdhillahi wa ra'ayatihi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.